Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, political reporter Sean Whaley, plus on the Power Pundit panel, Randy Thompson, Chris Wicker, and Sam Kumar. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
40 years ago, Hotel California and the theme from Rocky were number one on the pop charts, and D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal started on the road to becoming Nevada's leading roofing company.
I couldn't be more proud of what we've achieved.
And over these 40 years, we've become an employee-owned company. So when you're talking to any employee, you're talking to an owner.
And here's to the next 40 years.
Happy 40th birthday, D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Pro Group Management offers workers' comp services to a growing number of industries. As businesses grow and change with the times, the need for a solid workers' comp program must be flexible and up-to-date. The evolving nature of regulations can make staying ahead of complex tasks challenging. But Pro Group Management simplifies the work so your industry can move forward and succeed. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always pleased to welcome back to the program Sean Whaley, former Chief Carson City reporter for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Pleased to have you back on the program, sir.
Thank you, Sam. Glad to be here.
So NBC News puts out a piece this morning. It's about a 35-minute interview with former Senator Harry Reid. And he says Reid says he's worried that U.S. institutions have been decimated under President Donald Trump and blames Republicans for being lax on Russian election meddling. But he also warned his party against heading down the road of impeachment in an exclusive interview with NBC News. He said, "I say to everyone, stop it." Your thoughts?
Well, there's no question that influence from outside sources is a real world problem that we have nowadays. And I don't know the answer to how you respond to Russian bots and interference on a public space like social media. And I don't know what the president really could do about it. But I share his concerns about how things are going, and I'm not happy about them either. The politics of Nevada and the U.S. are divisive enough nowadays without having interference and throwing gasoline on the fire the way it seems to be happening now.
But you know, the irony is, of course, that the United States has interfered with elections in other countries for decades.
That's very true. There were always political interests in play in all around the world, from Iran to Chile and many other places. So the U.S. has certainly been involved in that kind of activity. I think it's kind of an accepted sort of way of government attempt to influence people to, you know, seek outcomes they want. So I guess the fact that we're aware of it now and aware of it as to the level it's at is helpful. It's just information is helpful. We know it's there, so act accordingly.
So do you think that, and you're an expert on energy issues, you studied them at the PUC for so long, do you think the reason that NV Energy stayed neutral in question three, the last time around, was because Senator Reid was still in office?
I don't know exactly why they stayed neutral on that issue. I'm not sure if they just felt that they wanted to see how it played out the first time around in the election cycle. And clearly, the public was enamored of the idea of being able to go out and purchase their own energy from outside sources. I don't think the utility probably is one of the average person's most favorite entity in Nevada. People have a tendency not to care for the utility. So maybe they thought they could just stay out of it and see what happened. But with the support it had, and I guess it's still, the last poll I saw showed there's still good support for it, that they felt that they need to weigh in at this point. And certainly they'll have huge ramifications if it passes.
And also the amount of money that is being spent on this on both sides. I mean, you could see this being a $60, $70 million campaign.
It's a big issue, and there's a lot of groups supporting it. The solar groups, obviously the Las Vegas Sands is what got the ball rolling on getting this on the ballot, and they picked an opportune time because it was a low turnout. So that only took 50, 60,000 signatures to get this on the ballot, and they took advantage of it like smart people would do. And now push is coming to shove, and there's definitely a movement to try to head off this objective to go to it's not really the PUC would still have some oversight, but public choice seems to be something that most voters, or many voters anyway, are well in favor of.
Do you think there's going to be some confusion if the Tom Steyer question gets on the ballot? We're talking about increasing the renewable portfolio standard to a higher level, more like California than the current one in Nevada. Is that going to confuse voters?
I don't think so. I think what could happen is that they could be packaged in a way, hey, if you support choice, if you support opportunities for solar and renewables, like apparently in polls, I see surveys, people are very supportive, that they could almost be a tandem sort of a event where voters would probably pick, and you know, if they were supportive, they'd vote for both, and if they were objected to what could happen with rates and so on, that they might oppose both. So I don't necessarily see. I think voters are sharper than maybe we always give them credit for.
Okay, we will see on that one. So going back to Senator Reid, you know, it's interesting because he still has tremendous power in D.C., certainly with the Nevada legislators.
Absolutely. He has definitely not left the building. He's involved. He's definitely still running the show, I think, in many ways for many of the candidates in the different races. You can see that with the congressional races and who gets picked to sort of be the choice of the party and so on. So I think he's very involved. I think he's very influential. And he, in the past, has delivered votes on Election Day for Democratic candidates. That's why I think he is able to maintain that authority, is because he can deliver those votes. So if you're a candidate on the Democratic side of things, you definitely want to have his backing and be on board with him, because he has a track record of doing well.
Yes, he does. Were you surprised to see Stephen Horsfood returning from D.C. to be back in Nevada to run for CD4?
I was a little surprised, because when he left office the last time around, it seemed like he was going to pursue other opportunities, lobbying, whatever, you know, that kind of work.
Big time job.
Paid very
MGM.
Well. Yeah, very, very well. So I was a little surprised, and I'm not sure if he just misses the opportunity to serve in Congress like that and sees an opportunity there. Obviously, he's got a primary race with Senator Spearman and some other candidates in that race. So it'll be interesting to see what the voters on the Democratic side in the primary think about that race. The candidates are active, and I just don't know who's going to pull that one out, although he would probably be the favorite, being the former candidate.
Shelley Berkley was on the program recently, the former congresswoman, and she was warning Jackie Rosen not to take Dean Heller for granted.
Well, I would definitely not take Dean Heller for granted. I mean, he won a tough Senate race a few years ago against Ms. Berkley. That was a close race, but he pulled that out, and obviously Democrats are attacking him because he's aligned with Trump, and they want to align him with Trump, but he's not going to pull a lot of Democratic votes anyway. It's not exactly something that's going to cause him too much grief. The Republican voters are going to support him most likely. So the independent voters are going to be a huge influence in how this election turns out. I don't know if they're going to be resonating on Trump and his Republican sort of control there. I mean, normally in the midterm elections, the party in power doesn't do well. So all things equal, you'd think independent voters generally might be more inclined to vote Democrat. But this election is an odd one with President Trump and his appeal, and it's a tough one to gauge.
But look at the tax cuts. I mean, the impact that those have had, not only on business, but to individuals as well.
Well, I think that's a huge accomplishment for the president, and I think a lot of people feel that it was a good thing for average people to get benefits from those tax cuts. Obviously, the Democratic side of things is a different point of view, that most of that money isn't going to average rank-and-file people and wages aren't rising commensurately with those cuts. So it's in dispute, it's in debate, but I think if an average Nevadan probably feels generally that those things were a good thing for them personally if they got, you know, a raise out of it. So I just don't know how that's going to play out. I don't know what the average folks think about that.
All right, let's take a break. More with Sean Whaley when we come back.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. We can save you money and add comfort and value to your home. To find out how, check out our new website. If you visit the site before June, you could win $1,000 cash in a random drawing. Just enter your name, Nevada zip code, and email, and you could be the lucky winner. Go to homeenergyexperts.com. That's homeenergyexperts.com. Must be 18 or older. The drawing will be held June 1st.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends. Play the hottest slots and video games. Join the Conductors Club and earn comps and free play. Meet your friends at Sully Sports Bar and feast on juicy burgers, wings, big beers, and all your favorite cocktails. Download the Tamarack Junction mobile app for exclusive food and gaming offers right from your phone. The Tamarack Junction, where friends meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with former Capitol reporter Sean Whaley. Let's talk about some polling that came out from the Nevada Independent. Very interesting things. The first thing I want to talk about is this poll was done by Mark Melman, who is a famed Democratic pollster and a very, very good one. He was the one that knew that Harry Reid was way ahead of Sharron Engel a long time before people in the state of Nevada were really aware of that, and they had done really drilled down. But still, this poll is about 800 people, and that's out of 3 million people we have in the state of Nevada. So I think one has to bear that in mind. It's kind of like TV ratings. And I don't know, what are your thoughts on polling in general? Because it seems like I'm having a hard time remembering the last time a poll was accurate in terms of election cycles.
I think in the past, the polls generally were fairly accurate. That election day would come and they would be borne out. That changed in the last few cycles with a lot more questionable results. And I don't think it's necessarily the size of the poll, but it's who participates. And I'm just not sure with the modern cellular phone situation where so many people don't have a landline and may not be accessed in a polling event, that maybe those results tend to be a little bit skewed as a result of that. So I think technology may have something to do with it. If you don't have a good base of people that you start with, then the results are not going to be reliable. So as far as what I saw in those results, they seem to make sense to me generally, but it's April, and we've got a long ways to go, and I'm sure it's just something that's not going to be of a huge concern for most candidates right now. I mean, if they're up, they're great, but that there's plenty of room to move there.
Your thoughts on Chris G versus Steve Sisolak?
Well, I've known Chris G for 30 years, and I like her, and I think she's a great candidate and a hard campaigner. Steve Sisolak, I knew him since he was a regent, and he seems like a good, solid candidate as well. Obviously, I think Chris G's probably a little to the left of Steve. He's maybe more of the middle-of-the-road candidate there. And so maybe that's why Democratic voters are looking at, since he did well in the poll, that maybe they're looking at someone who they feel is better positioned to take on Adam Laxalt, assuming he's the Republican choice in the primary, which it looks like he will be. I think they're both good candidates, but clearly Sisolak has got the edge right now, and I just don't know the mood of the voters well enough now to know whether or not her political views would resonate across the state if there's maybe more conservative-type Democrats who might be a bit concerned about some of her positions. So.
Well, but on the other hand, I mean, there's an awful lot of grassroots Democrats that have been huge Chris G fans over the years and are just thrilled that she is in this primary. And even though she doesn't have nearly the amount of money that Steve Sisolak has campaign-wise, but in the primary, how do you think that might fare?
Well, I don't know. I think the voters generally are going to probably, again, I would think that Sisolak's got to be the favorite. I just think he's more sort of the middle-of-the-road kind of candidate, and I think Democrats are looking for someone that they can take to November and win the governor's seat. It's been a long time since a Democrat has served in the governorship of Nevada. Bob Miller was the last Democratic governor we had in Nevada.
But we had him for 10 years.
Yeah. We did get him for 10 years. Not that there weren't attempts to reduce that time. So it's been a long time for a Democrat. And
we should also throw in that Senator Reid, right off the bat, said that he was supporting Steve Sisolak.
Right. So, I mean, I like her. I think she's a great person and a super smart person and a great campaigner. But she has an uphill battle in this primary.
And that's where we have to leave it. Sean Whaley, always a pleasure, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Please come back soon. We'll be right back.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. At Design Outdoor, we specialize in all hardscapes, pavers, and walls you'll need for everything, from wonderful small yards to full-blown outdoor living. And we only refer the best contractors to make your vision a reality. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance, custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Randy Thompson is here with the National Federation of Independent Business. Chris Wicker is former State Democratic Party vice chair and member of the DNC. And Sam Kumar is past chairman of the Washoe County Republicans. So in our last show, we were talking about immigration. And there was just one more area I wanted to throw in, which is, you know, as our country ages, we need 16 people working to support one person on Social Security and Medicare. And so if we don't have immigration, if we don't resolve this, we're going to be killing ourselves financially.
Maybe we should reform Social Security. Maybe we should come in from the other angle.
In what way?
Because we have spent money
I just
we don't
came
have.
On Social Security, so I'm just kind of curious.
We're way too young for Social Security, first of all.
We're living younger.
Yeah, I mean, we're living longer.
Maybe we should work longer. No, I think the challenge here is we are spending money we don't have. For example...
You mean like the trillion and a half dollars that we just spent on the tax cuts?
Well,
that was done by a Republican Congress and a Republican president.
Well, I would also add that President Obama increased more debt than all the other presidents combined. So we can keep talking about that.
Okay, just because she jumped off a ledge doesn't mean to say I have to jump off the ledge, right?
No, I'm not saying we should jump off the ledge, but that is the only way a tax cut would pass. Tax cut is important for the growth of the economy. It is an investment. It's about GDP growth, which has created more jobs. And now Nancy Pelosi can call it crumbs. The fact of the matter is people are seeing it in their paychecks, and it's a good move. I strongly support that. But in order for the president to get that passed, he had to give up some things. I don't like that, much like Democrats probably did not like the tax cuts. That's the kind of compromises we need to make. And at some point, if the Republicans have a supermajority in the Senate, then perhaps we can scale down on some of those expenditures we approved, like entitlement reform would be a good place to start.
Chris?
I think you have to go back to the issue that you formulated, is that we have an aging population and we need a young labor pool, skilled and unskilled, to support the aging population. And if that labor pool is willing to come to this country, we need to figure out a way to get them here. I think it would be a much better system with immigration reform so that we do control the borders better and control who comes in and who comes out. But we have got immigration is a big economic benefit to us, and we need to encourage that, encourage those people coming in, and try to get some of the emotion out of it and put more of the financial benefits into it, because there's a lot of misinformation out there about the cost of illegal immigration when most economists say that it's a big financial plus for this country.
Randy?
Well, the sad part, and it's fun, I love being able to sit with Chris and come to agreement on stuff, because this shows you Republicans and Democrats can be very reasonable and get some stuff done. So vote for Chris and I. But no, I mean, in the sense of the immigration and where it's happening, you're right, it is too emotional. We're not just looking at what is the logical economic benefit of it. One of the concerns I have, though, is so many of these people are using somebody else's Social Security number. They're paying into Social Security. They're never going to benefit from it. They're paying into these things that they're really going to never be able to benefit from because they're not going to stick around to go into Social Security. So we are really reaping a lot of benefit from it. But it's also really unfair to treat these people in this way of making them become a labor force and not let them enjoy the results of their hard work.
I agree with you with that, and we need immigration reform.
And when you look at China, it had a one-child policy, and that was not producing enough children to sustain their economy, again, with an aging population. So it makes sense. But who knows when this will get done. But it certainly won't get done this year. It was interesting. Victor Jakes wrote a column about Jackie Rosen for the Review Journal, and the headline said, "Rosen sells out veterans by raising money with Hanoi Jane." Does this ever go away?
Some things never go away. And you know, I think Jane Fonda has even apologized for something that happened so many decades ago. But it still resonates with some people, particularly veterans of the Vietnam War. You know, that resonates with them because what she did was clearly wrong in most people's points of view. So it's an easy target. And it has nothing to do with Jackie Rosen, I suppose. But you know, I don't know what to say to Victor Jakes about writing that old trope, but he thinks it's effective.
I just actually want to throw a kudo out to Mark Amadei, speaking of Vietnam. He actually was at the dedication ceremony for the Vietnam Veterans Helicopter Pilot Association. They finally got, over 5,000 helicopter pilots died in Vietnam. And have never had any kind of recognition. So I just want to say kudos to Mark Amade for helping spearhead that legislation through. So that's the only thing I'm going to say about Vietnam.
All right. Well,
there are actually some good stuff finally coming out, and we're honoring those veterans that we should have been honoring 40 years ago.
One of the things that was interesting over the past week was the Las Vegas Sun reporting that the Gaming Commission is changing regulations to reflect the state's legal pot. And Justice Hardesty was on the program talking about workers' comp issues that are coming up. There are all kinds of problems that are working their way up towards the Nevada Supreme Court. Your thoughts on where we are with marijuana in the workplace at this point?
I think it was a little too early for us to pass that because the regulations and the enforcement have not kept up with it. I remember you having, I believe, our District Attorney Chris Hicks. You know, I was talking to some cops a couple of days ago, and they were talking about how do you enforce that? Because alcohol, it's very clear, it's over a set period of time. Marijuana, it's over a much longer period of time. What kind of testing do we have if someone is impaired as a result of smoking marijuana as opposed to drinking alcohol, which is over a set period of time? So I think we have some huge challenges. We moved too fast on that one.
But we have huge taxes as well, and that's something that politicians really like, I understand.
Yeah, that's all, they always like that. I'll disclose that I do represent a marijuana facility, and I think that I get a lot of questions. Well, because it's legal, does that mean people can go high to work? And I say, no. You know, yeah. Employers have the right to prevent people from being under alcohol influence or any kind of drug influence. And so just because it's legal doesn't mean you can go to work that way. And hopefully that's a message that gets out because people are asking it.
Randy, well, you got the last 10 seconds.
Well, I'm seeing several employers actually taking marijuana off their drug testing policy now. They can tell if they're impaired or not, but they're not going to be testing for marijuana as much now. That's the reality. Otherwise, they're not going to find any workers.
And that's where we have to leave it. Food for thought. We'll be right back.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take an Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head-on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Can't do it. Stupid, like my mom.
We can't do anything at Mommy's because you won't pay child support.
Dad said you cheated, and he's not even sure he's my dad.
Mommy said you left both of us, so she isn't gonna let me see you.
I look just like my father.
I'm divorce attorney Marilyn York, and I may represent men, but hate has no gender, only casualties. Please, stop sacrificing your children in your war against your ex.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. We'll see you on the next broadcast.